Good morning. Lance Tarchione, technical agronomist with DeKalb Asgrow, here with you on WGIL Radio, AM 1400, with this week's episode of Ag Talk. Been a super busy week this week for me. I don't know about you, but had a lot of meetings this week, some travel, some meetings that I spoke at, some meetings that instead of the teacher, I was the student, and just had a lot going on. Had a nice warm-up in the weather this week. You probably certainly noticed that. And looking ahead in the forecast, there's a couple days early next week in the 50s in the forecast. So, and then we're going to return to a little bit more seasonal weather, but certainly nothing as cold as we've been here lately. Maybe the bitter cold is behind us for this winter. We shall see. It's been over 2 weeks since we've been above freezing here until the end of this week. So nice to get out of the deep freeze for a while, see some sunshine, and feel some air that doesn't take your breath away. Have a Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. I don't know if you care about it or not. I've actually got some other plans Sunday afternoon and evening that's probably going to keep me from seeing most of it. I might get free in time to watch the second half. Frankly, I'm not that interested in the game. I don't really follow the Seahawks or the Patriots. And based on the games I've seen, it looks like it could be a lopsided blowout, and always kind of disappointing when the game is not competitive. But you never know. That's why, as they say, that's why we play the game, to find out. But I have pretty low expectations for the game. The halftime show sounds horrible, so all that really leaves me with is the commercials, and I don't know. Most of those are usually don't live up to the hype either, in my opinion. So I've never really been interested in watching the game specifically for the commercials. I know there's people out there that aren't, they're not huge football fans, or maybe their team isn't playing, but they still really enjoy the commercials. So we'll see. But my plans for Sunday, I'm very excited about, much more excited about than I am about the Super Bowl. I have a bunch of meetings next week as well, so I have a meeting in Marshalltown, Iowa, Monday. And if you're familiar with Marshalltown, it's not too far from Ames, which is where Iowa State University is and where my two daughters are. So I'm going to go out to Ames Sunday afternoon so I can take the girls out to dinner Sunday night, spend a nice evening with my beautiful daughters, and then I'll head on over to Marshalltown, get an inexpensive hotel room somewhere, and be ready for my meeting on Monday morning. So, really looking forward to hanging out with my daughters this weekend. So, hopefully you've got something going on this weekend that you're excited about as well. Had a great week this week. Had a lot of opportunities to talk to farmers, and saw several customers and friends and colleagues I haven't seen for a long time. Some of them I haven't seen for probably 15 or 20 years, and others I see more frequently, but it's been a while. And it was nice to reconnect with people, and a lot of good networking opportunities. But had a 2-day meeting this week that, as I mentioned earlier, I was the student at this meeting. So at a lot of meetings, I get to be the quote unquote expert speaker that is talking to the people that come to the meeting. But at this meeting, I would not have been qualified to be an expert speaker at this meeting. It was pretty humbling, actually, with some of the clout of some of the speakers that were at this meeting. They had 10 different speakers there, all great presenters, all experts in their fields. Had time for, had plenty of time for them to share the information they wanted to share. And then leave time at the end for questions, which I love. I'm big on asking questions at the meetings. Within Bear, if I don't ask questions at a meeting, I get people coming up to me afterwards asking me if I feel okay, because I am the question guy. I'm going to be the guy that asks questions. Now, I will admit, and sometimes I get accused of this, some of my questions are actually a statement thinly veiled as a question. So sometimes I'm not actually asking questions, I'm more telling the presenter something. But anyway, I like to interact with the speakers. Sometimes it's hard for me to wait till the end. I've been known to raise my hand and ask them a question in the middle of the presentation. I like it when I'm the presenter and people stop and ask me a question. They may not appreciate it when I do it to them, but that's too bad, because I think that's fine. I don't really like it when the expectation is that, okay, we're going to hold all the questions to the end. Well, then you got to write it down, and you got to keep track of the question you were going to ask, and the moment is lost, and the opportunity seems like it's passed. And you know, when you got a question, you want to ask it when you think of the question, not 20 minutes later after you've thought of three other questions you want to ask. And so anyway, I'm a very informal speaker. So if you're ever someplace where I'm talking and you have a question, just say, "Hey, Lance, I got a question." That's all you need to do. And I'll do my best to answer your question. But anyway, we had plenty of time to ask questions of these speakers, and two of them in particular were kind of the heavy hitters in the lineup. So had the current world record corn yield holder and the world record soybean yield holder were two of the big name speakers at this meeting. So David Hula from Charles City, Virginia, and Alex Harrell from Lee County, Georgia. Now, I can assure you, the soils that both of these gentlemen farm would not hold a candle to our soils here in central Illinois. And in an ironic way, that actually helps them accomplish the feat that they have accomplished. And I won't go into the details of that get kind of deep in the weeds of soil science and agronomy to explain that. But both of these guys are farming soil that any farmer around here would probably turn their nose up at and think that that's some pretty crappy looking soil. And it is very low organic matter, low CEC, sandy soils. Now, they both use irrigation, which obviously is important in high yields. But David Hula in 2023 set the what still remains as the world record yield of corn in the National Corn Growers Association Yield Contest at, get this. So my corn this year averaged about 250, which is pretty good for my farms. An amazing field of corn will make 300. Not uncommon to get 300 bushel in plots. Pretty uncommon to get a whole field that yields 300. Mr. Hula in 2023 had an acre and a quarter, which is how much you have to harvest to, you know, have an entry in the NCGA yield contest. So you can't just like grow one plant and see what it produces. You have to harvest 1.25, a minimum of 1.25 acres for your contest way. And he produced 623.8 bushel per acre corn. So more than double what I would consider to be an outstanding corn yield. And one cool thing he shared with us, his farm is near, well, right on one of the rivers that flows into the Chesapeake Bay. And his farm is really close to where the Jamestown settlement was when the first immigrants from England came to the new world back in the 1600s. So the ground he's farming has been continuously farmed for over 400 years, which is pretty cool, and some really neat history there. And the other gentleman, whose name is Alex Harrell, he's the soybean king. So he's from Georgia, farms some very similar soil to David, actually. And in 2024, Alex raised soybeans that yielded 218.3 bushels per acre, which is really, I mean, it's interesting. I would say around here, corn, you know, good corn probably typically yields about 2.5 times what good soybeans yield. And so it's interesting that that the ratio of those record yields is about 2x. So it's a little closer than typical yields around here. I mean, a good soybean yield is 80, and a good corn yield around here is, you know, let's say 275. So it's not three times, but at over two times, about 2.5 times what corn, you know, corn typically yields versus soybeans. So anyway, these guys are fascinating and humbling to listen to, frankly. You got to be an OCD farmer to do what these guys do. The attention to detail that they have, the precision, the management, the focus, the effort, the desire to understand every little thing that impacts the yield potential of a crop, they are all over it in just an insane way. And nobody else has come close to doing what these two guys have done. So it was neat to listen to them talk about, you know, what they do and what they've done to be successful. And I do not have it in me to replicate what they do. I don't have the right kind of farm to do, you know, to try to replicate what they do. If I could get halfway to what they've done, I would think I was, you know, king of the world. So another one of the speakers we had that was really interesting, a guy named Thomas Dykstra, brilliant entomologist and entomology. For those of you that don't know, that's a bug person, bugs, insect, bug science. From Florida, he really challenged our thinking about what makes healthy plants and how he feels actually some of the common modern crop production practices and products that we use, in his opinion, work against making plants healthy and more naturally resistant to insects, diseases, and environmental stresses. So it was an interesting talk, really, really challenged the thinking of most of the room. He let us have it with both barrels. He wasn't holding back all the things that we do that he thinks are wrong and dumb and misguided. He let us have it. Also had a he was pretty entertaining in that regard. If you could keep from getting upset and offended, we also had a very entertaining lady named Jolene Brown, who is a writer for Successful Farmer magazine, and an estate planner who specializes in family farm operations and family businesses. And listening to her tell horror stories of what she's been through with families and just the, you know, the mistakes and pitfalls and everything that she has been involved with, and, you know, it really made it clear that, you know, anyone with a family business that hopes to keep the business going and successful and pass it along to future generations needs to have a plan and should seek expert advice and guidance to help their family create that plan. And she shared some interesting and some of them very sad stories of what happens when you fail to plan or don't have a plan or don't communicate well. But these experts were really, really good. And we had experts there in the field of high-yield management, agronomy, fertility, soil biology, soil chemistry, soil carbon, entomology, weather, government policy, and estate planning. So It was a long 2 days. Honestly, my butt was tired of sitting in the chair by the time we got done. But they fed us well, and some really good speakers, really good learning, really good networking opportunities, and nice to see some people that I worked with years ago that I haven't seen lately. So. Anyway, I hope you did something fun or something you learned from this week, or something that excited you, or something that was thought-provoking for you. Who knows? But whatever excites you, hopefully your job does. I know I feel very fortunate to have a job that I'm passionate about. I love it. It kind of defines me as a person, honestly, in many ways. And, you know, I haven't always been the best dad. I certainly was not the best husband, but I'm good at my job, and I'm thankful to have a job that, I can enjoy and be passionate about, and that I find, rewarding. And I've always loved the saying, Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. And I've really always felt that about my career. So hopefully you feel that way about yours as well. And we'll be back with you next weekend here with the next episode of Ag Talk.